This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everybody. This is Beth from the People Speak radio show. Here we believe when the people speak, they make a difference. You can listen to the People Speak live on BBS radio every Tuesday night at 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time or by going to our site at thepeoplespeakradio.net. There you can also listen to our live shows or to our past shows on our iPod Ready archive section. That's thepeoplespeakradio.net. Now, if you have a Nokia phone, you can also listen live via satellite. Just go to the website for details. I'm really pleased to have with us a fascinating gentleman this evening, Dr. Rob Eifker, a physician healer, health educator, and a best-selling author. He's a board-certified holistic physician, and a fellow of the American Academy of Family Physicians, Healing Touch certified practitioner, and certified, now this is one of my favorites, he's a certified laughter yoga leader. From, I believe this school is the Dr. Kataria School of Laughter Yoga. He's been practicing medicine since 1972, and for the past 20 years, his holistic medical practice has focused on the treatment of respiratory disease, chronic sinusitis, asthma, and allergies, and the creation of optimal health. Love Your Nose is his book. And how many editions, Doctor? Welcome to our show.
Well, thank you. I've published 4 editions of Sinus Survival since 1988. And the latest book is really an update and a revision of the 4th edition of Sinus Survival. And this book, I decided to change the title and make it more direct in explaining what this holistic treatment program is really doing and why it works so well. And I've named this and so far it's an e-book. It's called Love Your Nose Naturally. And
it's a wonderful,
that's really what I'm teaching patients to do and the readers.
Well, Doctor, why is there, am I mistaken, or is there an incredible amount of allergies and sinus conditions that have emerge due to a lot of reasons, including environmental issues?
Well, that's the primary reason. That's number one. The nose and the sinuses are the body's primary air filter. And you need look no further than the air quality in most major cities in the world to see why the filter is getting so clogged up. And you know, and the other factor here is that we breathe on average 23,000 times a day. And you know, it's fascinating. The body is a self-healing organism, and it will heal itself. And we all know that if we break a bone, and suppose we broke our leg and we had it put in a cast, and we get some crutches and we don't use the leg for 6 weeks, and the bone heals up just fine. And the problem here is that 24/7, 23,000 times a day, we're using the nose and the sinuses and the lungs. As long as we're alive, we never stop using our respiratory tract. And that's the challenge of healing this chronically inflamed mucous membrane that lines the nose, the sinuses, and the lungs. It's one continuous tissue. It's you may know that the skin is considered the largest organ in the body. It's covering our entire body. Well, yeah. the mucous membrane of the respiratory tract is a specialized type of skin. You can think of it that way. And when you're filtering all of these particulates in the air, and ozone and nitrogen dioxide and all of these pollutants are all irritants to the mucous membrane, it will never heal. And when you get a cold or a sinus infection on top of this already mildly inflamed mucous membrane, then it flares up into a more severe inflammation. And then after the infection clears, then you're back to a more inflamed mucous membrane than you had when you started, and you're having to breathe this polluted, gritty, particulate-laden air, and it just keeps getting worse. And one of the things that happens is that you're not only more prone to infection, but you're also, the mucous membrane becomes hyper-reactive, so that you develop more allergies. So allergies are becoming much more common than they ever were. And chronic sinusitis, which is a condition of recurrent sinus infections, or lots of postnasal drip, or congestion and sinus headaches, that's become the most common respiratory condition in the world. In the U.S., there are over 40 million people with this chronic sinusitis, and it's among the most common conditions, any medical condition in this country. So it's really an epidemic, and in fact, as you said, it's an environmental. It's our first environmental epidemic, because air pollution is the primary cause.
May I ask you? I'm sorry, Doctor. As you can see, I'm starting my sinus period this year, and you know, it seems to start earlier and earlier every season, and I don't understand all of that. It used to be where it would take a lot longer. If I were to ask you,
Because you're becoming more inflamed, and as I just mentioned, more sensitive and hyper reactive to whatever is in the air. And
well, I certainly agree with that. And as a person that's had some pulmonary issues because of my sinuses, I have met a wonderful pulmonologist, and part of the problem was that I was losing my voice and this irritant, and it got to the point where I was constantly having to have a little sip of water just to kind of here thinking it was this dryness, and as it turned out, it wasn't dryness at all. It was the caustic material that was being drained from my sinus passages. Now, one thing that the pulmonologist said that was very interesting to me, he said that if you laid out the sinus system flat, you would be stunned at the largeness of the tissue.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of mucus-producing tissue.
It is. It is. A normal mucous membrane, you know, a healthy nose and sinus produces 2 pints of mucus every day.
Now, that's normal. So what if somebody's got problems, what do they produce?
That's right. And most of the mucus that drains from the sinuses, as happened with you, drains down the back of your throat, the post-nasal drip, and
right.
It can cause laryngitis, which you've had a problem with, and it can cause a sore throat, and it can cause a cough. And
exactly.
And the other, the bigger problem, much more serious problem, is that the nose and sinuses not only filter the air, but they also humidify the air and regulate the temperature of the air that you're breathing. And they do all of these things for one main reason, to protect your lungs. And if they're not doing their job in protecting your lungs, then your lungs begin to fail. And the most common problem that happens as a result of this is asthma. And asthma in the U.S. alone has nearly tripled in incidence just in the last 20 years. It's just an amazing thing. And no one is really sure. I mean, you know, the scientists need a lot of evidence to prove their theories. And although air pollution is suspected, they're still not willing to say that is the reason that we've seen a tripling in the incidence of asthma. But it is really becoming an epidemic.
Well, it absolutely is. I know certainly due to my sinus conditions, I have had a couple of asthma attacks, which was very unusual for me. And it's like I'm laying in the hospital in emergency, and they're saying, "Well, you're having an asthma attack." And I says, "There's only one problem. I don't have asthma. Why am I having this?" But in fact, and I do understand the relationship. And I recently aspirated on an almond and had bronchial pneumonia and was hospitalized for a couple of weeks, had to have a bronchoscopy. And ever since then, I've had four episodes of pneumonia. That was at the beginning of last year. And as I said, I've had four episodes of pneumonia. And my doctors are convinced that, first of all, there might be some scar tissue in the lung due to the aspiration. And second of all, that I had to be very cautious to protect my lungs from infection. And how do you do that? You tell me now, how can we reduce allergens in the home? And how do we make this situation better? Now, there's a lot of information in your books. Your book is amazing, by the way.
Well, thank you. It's very concise.
It's very concise. It's very well put together, and it's very easily read, and it's got important, solid information in there. And I think
thank you very much.
Well, no, thank you for allowing me to read it. No, it was excellent. And I am doing, the saline rinses are something that I do. How do you feel about the neti pots these days?
I think neti pots are wonderful. And in the last few years, a device, a pulsatile irrigator, if you're familiar with the water pick device for your teeth, this works in very much the same way, but it was designed specifically to irrigate the sinuses. And what it does is it pulsates, and we've discovered that there's a very thick coating of mucus on the mucus membrane lining the sinuses, the nose and the sinuses, and what happens is this thick coating of mucus traps a lot of the allergens and a lot of the bacteria and viruses that you're breathing, and it helps to maintain the inflammation. So, unfortunately, none of the other irrigating devices, including the neti pot, are able to remove that thick coating of mucus other than this pulsatile irrigator. And it's called the SinuPulse. It's S-I-N-U Pulse, P-U-L-S-E. And that's really the state of the art of the irrigating devices. Now, you also asked about how to prevent these problems. And, you know, the first thing that I do, and I have to preface this by telling you that what I'm practicing, this is a brand new specialty in medicine. It's called integrative holistic medicine. And the reason it's so effective in treating almost every chronic condition, whether it's sinusitis or arthritis or asthma, even heart disease, back pain, you name it, the reason that it works so well is that we address all of the causes of the problem. Now, that may seem like just good common sense, but unfortunately, our conventional medical system has really spent most of our time focused on treating the symptoms and relieving discomfort temporarily, but the cause of the problem is still there. And as I explained to you, the real challenge of treating allergies and recurrent pneumonia that you've now developed is in part to create healthy, optimum air to breathe. Because, as I said, you're breathing 23,000 times a day, and every breath you're taking is irritating. And I think you do. You live in the Los Angeles area.
No, I live in Michigan.
Oh, in Michigan,
which is the absolute worst for everybody that lives in Michigan has sinus problems. It's as simple as that. If you live here, you've got sinus problems.
Oh.
that's well, the big Michigan claim to fame.
Is
everyone
that
here has sign?
I see. I have heard that. You're correct. I thought. Another part of the problem is that you're breathing a lot of cold air a good bit of the year,
yes.
In addition to polluted air. And
artificially heated or cooled air, depending on the season.
Well, and then in the wintertime, you know, what I've done is to create a program that the environmental health component of my Love Your Nose Naturally program is to create optimum indoor air. Now, the EPA tells us that the average American spends about 90 to 95% of their time indoors. So we can't really do much at this point to change the quality of the outdoor air, but if we spend most of our time indoors, fortunately, technology has made it possible for us to clean and humidify our indoor air, and the device that I rely on most heavily is a negative ion generator, and I've been using this particular state-of-the-art ion generator for the last 15 years, and it does not emit ozone. And that's been the big problem with the negative ion generators, because most of them emit ozone, and ozone is an irritant to the mucous membrane. So although they do clean the air, you really don't want any ozone. The other thing that they do is that there's some evidence that they stimulate the cilia on the mucous membrane and help to restore your mucous membrane to normal function. So they do those two things, and I usually recommend that people have one of these negative ion generators by their bed, or even at their workplace, on their desk at work. And, you know, since most of us are sitting in front of a computer a good bit of the day, most computer screens are emitting positive ions, which are also unhealthy. So you want, if you are in that situation, I recommend that you keep this negative ion generator pointed at the computer screen, not pointed at you. And
I've heard that some of there are some negative ion reflectors that you can wear around your neck, like for people that are working a lot of the time on.
It's very doubtful that they're really doing any good.
You think? Okay.
I've spoken to a couple of the scientists that have developed the negative ion generators, and he said that they really don't do much at all. The same thing is true of the ones in the cars. There are some ion generators that are sold for use in an automobile, and they don't work very well either.
Well, I happen to have one in my automobile, and I have a negative ion charger here in my home. Actually, I have two of them, one for my bedroom, because I do have very severe allergies, and one in my living space. I also have a salt lamp.
The salt lamp is good, but you need to know if your ion generator is emitting ozone. That's very important, as I mentioned. And the sinus, the negative ion generator that I'm recommending is called the Sinus Survival Air Vitalizer, and that's available on the website sinussurvival.com. And I've been investigating products and devices to help implement my program for almost 30 years now. So I'm always looking for state-of-the-art devices and products to help people heal their mucous membrane. And that's as I've said already, that's a big challenge to do. And
well,
the other thing I would add, if you're living in Michigan, and even though it's so humid there, in the wintertime, as you've noticed, with the heat on, it's quite dry indoors. So I recommend a warm mist humidifier in your bedroom.
Well, we have a full scale humidifying system on our heat because I couldn't live without it. Honestly.
Oh, you have it for the whole house?
Yes, I've got the whole shebang. I'm telling you, I've been dealing with these allergies for so long. I've tried everything, and for the most part, you want to. If you ask me, I'll tell you what has really. Obviously, all of these things do help. Secondly, depending on the diet, obviously, if you leave out, if you factor in dairy products and things like that, they just will wreak havoc on your system.
Oh, we didn't even get to the diet yet.
Oh,
you're,
I know.
You're absolutely
like, wow.
Right. The diet is huge, but there are other. Do you use a steam inhaler that are available in most pharmacies? Have steam inhalers, and I've been recommending that my patients add, and I've written about this in the book, for both allergies and sinus infections and asthma, any respiratory problem, there's a highly medicinal eucalyptus oil. Now, this is not all eucalyptus oils are equal. There are about 700 different species of eucalyptus on the planet, but only about 10 of them are considered medicinal. And
really?
This medicinal eucalyptus oil is so healing. It's a powerful anti-inflammatory, and you can spray it. It comes in a spray bottle. It's also available at sinussurvival.com, but you can not only spray it into the steamer and then breathe this in, and I recommend that people do this two or three times a day for about 15 minutes, and you can spray it on a tissue throughout the day. You can be sitting at your desk, at work, wherever you are, in the car, on an airplane. I mean, the air in the airplanes is just awful. And just hold the tissue next to your nose and just breathe. And that's probably the most convenient and effective way to be healing your mucous membrane and reducing inflammation.
I use eucalyptus occasionally, but it's one of those things that I guess you forget sometimes.
Well, I'm trying in this brief period of time to really give you the highlights of my book and this sinus survival treatment program. And the other thing that I've this is a product that I helped to formulate. It's a saline nasal spray with four different herbs, and three of those herbs are anti-inflammatory, and one of them most people are familiar with, aloe vera, and we know that aloe usually works quite well for a sunburn, and it's good for relieving the pain and inflammation in our skin, but it's also quite good for the mucous membrane. So I have a sinus survival nasal spray that has aloe and two other anti-inflammatory herbs, and I was able to cure my own chronic sinusitis 20 years ago, but I still use this preventively. I live in Denver, and Denver is highly polluted and also extremely dry year-round, and I use it preventively, and that's really the key. Basima, if you want to know the key to this whole program is to incorporate some new daily habits into your routine. And one of them is, you know, just spraying with the saline, this sinus survival spray, spraying with eucalyptus oil. I also recommend that after you spray with the this saline spray, you can enhance the effect by taking a little drop, one or two drops of peppermint oil, putting it on your fingers, and swabbing it around the outside of your nostrils. And inhaling that peppermint oil will stimulate more blood flow to your mucous membrane. And it's really quite amazing. You would love it. And you would notice the effect right away. I mean, you don't have to be doing this for weeks and months to notice that it's really helping you.
Well, let me ask you something about the peppermint oil, because I know a lot of listeners are hearing peppermint oil. You're not talking about an essential oil, because essential oils can be very caustic to the skin if they're applied
directly. Yes, but no, this peppermint oil, it is essential, pure peppermint oil, but you are applying it on the outside of your nostrils. You're not putting it inside. But even on the outside, it's quite strong.
Let me ask you, Doctor, there's recently we highlighted a gentleman that had created a new topical negative charged allergen that was applied to the outside of the nose and the upper lip. How do you feel about that type of product?
You know, I'm not familiar with that product. Do you remember what it was called?
I can have someone in the audience. I have some sitting in my office, but I don't have it accessible right now. But it was I tried it, and it wasn't too bad a product. But like right now, this is a very heavy allergy period for me, so
well,
I'm not sure what's working and what isn't at this point.
Well, there are a number of supplements that I also recommend for allergies. And I'm assuming if this is a bad time of the year for you, then you're sensitive to trees, tree pollen. Because
yeah, my major allergies are dust. And probably, I'm sure that through the years I've gotten, and the name of the product was called Allergen Block.
Allergen Block. Boy,
yeah.
I would love to know more about that. It sounds.
I'll make sure that my producer sends you some information on it.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, because
as I said, I've been investigating for nearly 30 years now, and that's why I've had four editions of Sinus Survival, because the book. The program keeps getting more effective as I find more effective products.
Well, I'll tell you, this is really nice, especially considering you are a holistic physician. And when you're talking about, they also have a child product. So that's something that you may want to look at, too. You know, we are speaking with Dr. Rob Ifker.
Ifker.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's okay.
I should have asked you that.
No
Dr.
problem.
Dr. Rob Ifker. And Dr. Ifker have you written books on this subject, but you have blogs, and we've been putting in, you can go to our site and get to his blog site and get all kinds of information there. We're going to be breaking. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Dr. Ifker. And if you have any questions, please feel free to call in. We'll be posting the number in just a moment. Thank you very much.
We used to write letters to each other a lot.
And it was intimidating to talk to him sometimes because he just seemed so isolated by himself.
She started talking about how she wishes that her life was over and she wishes that she was never born.
So I knew he had depression, but I didn't know it was that far.
Said something to me about killing himself.
Tell somebody, tell an adult, counselor, parent, whatever.
It's a hard situation because you do risk making that person very angry and losing their friendship.
It would have been horrible for me if she never talked to me again, but I'd live with it because I know she'd be alive.
Definitely worth getting help, even if you think you're going to lose a friendship, because it's better to lose the friendship than the actual friend.
Suicide is one of the leading causes of death among teens. For more information, contact the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, 888-333-AFSP, or online at afsp.org.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
Are you appalled that our country is spending billions on war while cutting funds for our libraries, hospitals, and schools? Are you heartsick at the suffering of the Iraqi people? Then join me, Medea Benjamin, in signing Code Pink's urgent call for peace in Iraq. Sign on today at www.womensaynotowar.org.
We teach them how to tie their shoes. They teach us how to live our lives. We teach them long division. They teach us how to bank online. Our children will always outgrow us, but for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children aged 6 to 11 has doubled. The percent of overweight teenagers tripled. Obesity kills. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, all are linked to obesity, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children live, where children will use them. Finding out how you can help is as easy as tying your shoes. Log on to earthshare.org now, a public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact the world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
In our Constitution, the Founding Fathers laid a path to an economy that should have kept Americans free and prosperous. How we the people were tricked off that path into a world of debt and deception reads like one of the great mystery novels of all time. American Free Press compares author Ellen Brown's new book, Web of Debt, to an eye-opening thriller that will leave you feeling like Neo in The Matrix. In Web of Debt, the mysterious and often shocking origins of today's ultimate financial crisis are exposed, starting with its distant beginnings to its present disastrous climax as the reader is shown that the way to restore America's true wealth has been with us all along. Please visit Ellen Brown's website, webofdebt.com, to see how America's money and future can become by and for the people once again.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. Thousands of sick and dying patients find marijuana effective as a medicine, including cancer, MS, and AIDS patients. 9 states have legalized its use. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the city wall, by the relief on the fast as summer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the People Speak Radio.
Can I get some
we
water?
We are. Our guest this evening is Dr. Rive Ivker, best-selling author and health educator and physician healer. Dr. Ivker has written a number of books. More recently, Love Your Nose Naturally, which is a holistic approach to integrative medicine for sinus infections and other sinus issues. We've got a couple of questions, Doctor. Thank you for being with us tonight.
It's a pleasure.
And we've got a couple of questions. One of them is from Mike in California, and he asked, Dr. Ivker, you are much more compassionate than most allergy doctors I've been to, who simply write out a prescription for any number of dangerous allergy meds with horrible side effects. Could you speak about the dangers of allergy meds?
Well, the active ingredient in most allergy medications is an antihistamine. And antihistamines, for someone who has had sinus infections, one of the things that the antihistamines do, the primary reason that they're being used is to stop the allergen, the histamine reaction. And that's the allergy reaction, but they also dry and thicken the mucus. And it makes it harder for the mucus to drain. And very often, if you're someone who's prone to sinus infections and you take an antihistamine, it can actually be a factor in contributing to a sinus infection. So I recommend that sinus sufferers, meaning people who have had frequent sinus infections not use antihistamines. Now, the other part of the problem with antihistamines that has been largely corrected, but it's still there, many people have this effect, is that they can be sedating. And people can be, you know, become pretty drowsy
and groggy.
And groggy. You just don't feel like yourself.
Absolutely.
And it can be dangerous to drive a car. You know, it's, you're just not, you know, it does treat the symptom. There's no question that these medications are highly effective in treating the symptom, but they are temporary, and they're not really addressing the causes.
Sharon, Massachusetts, has a question for you, Doctor. And her question is, Dr. Ivker, what is your opinion on pure menthol crystals or eucalyptus oil mixed with lemon oil as far as treating allergies or opening sinuses?
I've never used that combination. I've never used eucalyptus oil with the lemon, and the other one was menthol crystals and eucalyptus
pure menthol
oil.
Crystals.
No, I haven't done that. And probably because the eucalyptus oil that I've been using for nearly 15 years now, it's imported from Australia, is so highly effective as an anti-inflammatory. It helps as a decongestant. It opens you up as well. I haven't really mixed it with anything.
Cheryl also wants to know if ginger helps with a cough.
I haven't used ginger with coughs. Well, to some extent, I mean, you can mix a ginger tea. Can be effective. I used a lot of ginger for nausea. That works well. But ginger tea, I have recommended, and I've even mentioned it in my book as a natural quick fix symptom treatment for coughs. Elderberry is another great herb for coughs and lung infections. Are you familiar with elderberry?
I've used it, but I for other things. So you're saying for lung
for respiratory
infections.
Problems, especially the lungs.
And how is that? How would it be taken?
Well, it's you can take it as a tea. There's elderberry tea. There is elderberry extract. A liquid extract is probably the strongest way to take it.
Yes, because I, from my understanding, teas aren't really very the best delivery system. Although they are very tasty, they're not the best delivery system for medicinal herbs.
Well, there are some medicinal teas. There are a couple of lines of medicinal teas that I've seen in the health food stores, and I've tried. The best way to use herbs medicinally is in a liquid extract. And one of the other things that I use for cough is wild cherry bark syrup.
Oh. Actually,
that
I have.
Another one.
Yeah,
I guess I can mention here, I also have a little cocktail of gargling And then you drink lemon juice and honey in a 1-to-1 mixture with a tablespoon of vodka or a pinch of cayenne pepper.
Oh, well, I like that recipe.
You like that one?
I'll try that. I think I'll try that tonight.
Okay.
Is it only a tablespoon of vodka?
Only a tablespoon, or you can use a pinch of cayenne pepper. But it's the lemon juice and honey 1-to-1 with the vodka or cayenne pepper. But
you gargle
first with some salt water.
I see. Now, may I ask you what ratio of sea salt do you recommend for the saline rinses?
I use a half a teaspoon in 16 ounces of water, and it's non-iodized sea salt.
Mm-hmm.
And I also then add a pinch of baking soda.
Oh, really? And why the
the
baking soda? I've never heard that.
Yes, that more closely simulates your normal mucus.
Really? Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
So it's, and if you just use 8 ounces of water, so then it would be a quarter of a teaspoon of salt, of the non-iodized sea salt.
Now let me ask you, what foods should people be avoiding? Obviously the dairy products are
dairy products
used.
Are at the top of the list.
Absolutely.
sugar, and gluten grains are things to be avoided. I should mention to you, and this is very important, that in recent years, over the last 10 to 15 years, I've seen an increasing number of patients with fungal sinusitis. Why do they have fungal sinusitis? Because that most people with sinus problems, with sinus infections, have taken broad-spectrum antibiotics, and they develop a yeast overgrowth, candida, which in turn, as they overgrow, they secrete a lot of toxins, and the yeast thrive in the body, and they're a normal inhabitant of the body, and they live everywhere that's wet and moist. So your gastrointestinal tract and your respiratory tract are filled with candida organisms and normal good bacteria. And what happens when you take a broad-spectrum antibiotic, it not only kills the bacteria causing your infection, but it also wipes out the good bacteria. So unless you're replacing the good bacteria with a probiotic, a good probiotic would be one that contains both Acidophilus and Bifidus.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't contain those two as the primary organisms, then you're probably not using a good probiotic. But the problem here is that these candida organisms secrete toxins that increase the inflammation tremendously, and it's a real challenge to treat this problem, because diet plays a huge role, and sugar is the primary fuel for candida. Now, we also know that sugar, and there are a number of studies that have demonstrated this, sugar can weaken your immune system. So, you know, the fact that you, Basma, had 4 episodes of pneumonia, your immune system is very weak to have allowed you to get, you know, pneumonia is a bad infection. as you well know. So you were pretty sick this year.
I had an interesting year, for sure.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it's been a very challenging year for you. But your diet is key, and you shouldn't, you really, in fact, you may have a problem with yeast overgrowth yourself, because you probably took quite a few antibiotics with all these episodes of pneumonia.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, during the bronchoscopy, they found a fungal infection due to the amount of liquids that had filled the lung. It was, like I said, it was no fun. So everybody, I will take my advice. Eat almonds, they're good for you. Do not inhale almonds, they're bad for you.
the other food that, you know, the gluten grains, breads, and anything with sugar and alcohol are all great fuel for the yeast organisms. So
absolutely,
I try and have people
and
avoid those.
And for people that have never taken acidophilus or bifidus, make sure to get a high quality one. You want to make sure that you get a refrigerated form of it.
That's correct.
Are live cultures. Anything that's off the shelf, forget. That's just junk.
That's a very good point. And I wanna let your listeners know that this Candida controlled diet is a very healthy diet. I eat it, a modified Candida diet myself, and I don't have this problem, but it's a hypo-inflammatory, hypoallergenic diet, and a very healthy one at that. And in my books, I've written a lot about this condition of Candida, and I have a lot of information about the diet. I've laid it out pretty comprehensively.
We have some more questions, Doctor. I'm going to try to fit some of these in for Angela. My name is Angela, and I live in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Doctor, do you think mainstream medicine intentionally sabotages people seeking or using herbs, supplements, and alternative medicine to treat their condition? She has a couple more parts to this question. It's a really long question, but maybe you can briefly touch on that.
No, I don't think they purposely sabotage alternative medicine. I just think that they're not educated. They're not familiar with the evidence, the science that supports the use of natural products and the herbs and the dietary problems. You know, conventional medicine is wonderful for acute and life-threatening illnesses and injuries. If you're at death's door, there's nothing better than modern conventional medicine. But unfortunately, for chronic illness, and that's what we're talking about here, and, you know, you can go down the list, high blood pressure and heart disease and sinusitis and asthma and back pain and diabetes and migraine headache. Conventional medicine only treats the symptoms, and an integrative, holistic medical approach can be highly effective in treating any of these chronic conditions, because we're learning to address all of the causes of the problem. And what I mean by that is we're treating the whole person. It's a body, mind, spirit approach. And it isn't just about eating the right things. It's just as much, if not more, what's eating you. And the emotional factors are huge. With chronic sinusitis, I have found that repressed anger is a major contributor to sinus infections, and fear, anxiety, tends to trigger allergy problems. The next time you have a sneezing attack, pay attention to what you were thinking and feeling just prior to the onset of the sneezing. It's a very revealing thing. With asthma and lung problems, grief and a sense of loss is a very important factor in contributing to that problem. So, and in this specialty, I mean, just look at the spiritual aspect. This specialty of integrative holistic medicine is based on two fundamental beliefs. Unconditional love is life's most powerful healer, and the perceived loss of love is our greatest health risk. And it's really all about love. And the message here is that we tend to, and the key word there was the perceived loss of love. And very often in this highly judgmental, competitive society that we live in, we're our own worst critics. And we tend to be angry. The sinus sufferer, the typical sinus sufferer, is a perfectionist, a high achiever with who sets very high standards of performance for themselves. And if they don't meet that standard of performance, and they think they've made a mistake, they're very hard on themselves. So they get angry with themselves. And in doing so, they're no longer loving themselves. They're angry with themselves. So it's fascinating, just fascinating. And I can't tell you how consistent this picture is of the typical chronic sinusitis sufferer. Very, very consistent. Almost every patient I see tends to be somewhat of a perfectionist. And regardless of what their job is, it could be a homemaker or a teacher or an executive. It doesn't matter. They all have that trait.
I am ready to tear my clock off my hands. I am a perfectionist, and let me put it this way, Doctor. I'm a recovering perfectionist.
Well, join the club, Basima, because so am I.
And I suppose as long as we're recovering, we're on our way to better.
Well, I have found after working on this for 30 years that it's a lot easier to change your diet and take a bunch of supplements than it is to change that ingrained behavior that we've been continuing since childhood.
Well, I'll tell you, Doctor, this is really one of the fastest hours we've ever had. You are extremely informative. Your information, I think, has been excellent, on target. I appreciate all that you have put into this. This is, and for those of you that have never worked with these kinds of approaches to healing your sinuses and respiratory system, they're vital. I know this for a fact. Dr. Ivker's blog is out there. His book is wonderful. You need
the two websites, Basima, that I would recommend are sinussurvival.com or my website is physicianhealer.com.
Well, there you go. And in these sites, You do have the blog there too, don't you, if I'm not mistaken, Dr.
Well, the blog is not yet active.
Okay.
I haven't really begun that yet.
Okay. Well, you should, because you just are a wealth of information, and I know so many people that could benefit from this. But go to the websites. There's tons of information there. The book can be had online. You can get an ebook copy of it. It is wonderful, and it is very, very informative. Thank you very much, Dr. Ivker. It's been a pleasure. I hope to have you back again with us one day, because really there just seems to be, I've got a ton of questions from our audience that we still haven't even got to. And
well, I would love to. It's been a pleasure, and thank you very much for inviting me to be on with you.
Well, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the night is over, but our guest next week is Professor Angela Davis, infamous Angela Davis of the 1960s, 17-inch afro-wearing Professor Angela Davis. So we'll see you next week, Tuesday night, 8 to 9 Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, Dr. Ivker, for being with us again. And ladies and gentlemen,
you're welcome.
We're going to call it a night. Thank you very much.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the table by the relief fest I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.